Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Family for Every Child's Conversations on Care podcast. My name is Amanda Griffith, and I'm the CEO at Family for Every Child. This podcast is a space where we can talk directly to practitioners about how they are providing care to vulnerable children and families around the world. At Family for Every Child, we're a growing network of currently 41 local civil society organisations working on the ground in 37 countries. And these organisations have a wealth of knowledge and experience from years of working with children and communities to develop solutions to improve children's care. Today's podcast is the final episode in our Power of Civil Society mini-series, where we are looking at the positive outcomes that occur when local civil society organisations come together and collaborate. This series supports the launch of Changemakers for Children, our online platform that aims to create a strong global community of civil society organisations to create lasting change for children around the world. Our first two episodes explored the topics of practice exchange and research as different mechanisms for CSO collaboration. We talked last time about the importance of research providing an evidence base for advocacy needs, which leads us nicely onto today's topic for advocacy. To discuss this, I'm delighted to be joined by Zeni Rosales from the Centre for the Prevention and Treatment of Child Sexual Abuse, known as CPT-CSA in the Philippines. CPT-CSA provides therapeutic support to young perpetrators and survivors of child sexual abuse and trains parents and foster carers of children who've been sexually abused. Zeni, welcome, and thank you very much for joining me in this conversation.
Thank you, Amanda, for this privilege to share our experience with you today.
Zeni, I know you are currently busy preparing for the Blue Umbrella Day campaign, which is launching in April and is a local CSO-led campaign that is raising awareness of how better care for and protected boys from sexual violence. Before we get onto the details of Blue Umbrella Day, I wonder if you could take us back to the beginning of this collaboration, which started out in the form of a practice exchange, I think, back in 2017, and evolved into a research project before becoming the advocacy campaign that it is today. So could you just tell me a bit more about how this collaboration between Family for Every Child members first came about?
Sure. Okay, and in February 2017, CPT-CSA was a new member of Family for Every Child then. So CPT-CSA hosted a practice exchange among five members of Family for Every Child, coming from Cambodia, India, Indonesia, Nepal, and of course, the Philippines. The practice exchange was first conceptualized during the 2016 annual assembly of Family for Every Child, which was held in London at the time. And one of the major results of this particular practice exchange was a research proposal to gain a better understanding on how social norms around gender influence how we care for and protect boys affected by sexual violence. And we also want to know what are the existing services done by other organizations in other parts of the world to ensure that boys affected by sexual violence grow up in a safe and loving family. That was the inspiration of that practice exchange in 2017.
And so I think that research then resulted in the Caring for Boys report that was published in 2018. So the original group of organizations that are involved in that are different to the group that is leading on the Blue Umbrella Day campaign, I think. So tell us how things developed from the research through to this campaign now.
Yeah, that research proposal was implemented in 2018 and was completed in early 2019. And actually, the members who are behind the Blue Umbrella campaign today are not really 100% different from that primary research on caring for boys affected by sexual violence, because India and Philippines are part of this social norm campaign through the Blue Umbrella Day strategy. But I would like also to recall back that before, after the primary research on caring for boys affected by sexual violence was completed, this was followed, Amanda, if we remember, the United for Boys global campaign.
Yep.
Because that was the family's strategy to share the findings and recommendations of the four country research done by India, Cambodia, Nepal, and the Philippines. So that was our strategy to start, you know, to really use the information that we have collected through that studies.
Excellent. And so how does this differ from the United for Boys campaign, then the Blue Day, the Blue Umbrella Day campaign? What's the difference between the two?
Yeah, they are quite similar because the goal still is to raise awareness globally. But for the United for Boys global campaign was to raise awareness at the global level to change the way society tackles sexual violence by combining public awareness and systemic change. Now for the Blue Umbrella Day, this is very specific. We are now targeting families and communities to also revisit the way we treat our boys and girls, how we protect protect our boys and girls from sexual abuse and all forms of sexual exploitation. So we want to address this in a very concrete way this time.
Interesting. So the first one was much more about bringing the evidence to bear on the internationally for people to be aware of it. And this one is now really specifically looking at achieving changes at a local community level, because yes, the orientation of this particular advocacy is looking at social norms. And I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about how you developed a campaign that's focused on changing social norms. I mean, is there any particular complexities around a campaign that's looking at something which is, after all, quite a complex and long-term change to achieve, is that social norms changing? But you've identified that specifically, that's the area that needs to change. So can you just tell me a little bit more about how you think advocacy can support your aims to achieve that change?
Yeah, the campaign on addressing harmful social norms in the way we care and protect our boys was inspired by the findings of the primary research on caring for boys affected by sexual violence, because one of the major findings there is that really among the findings of the poor country research, it still goes back to the issue of there are really social norms that we have to revisit around gender, masculinity, and patriarchy, because it has some nuances and some complexity on how boys are being seen when it comes to care and protection as compared to girls. So using the findings of the Caring for Boys Affected by Sexual Violence primary research, the Blue Umbrella campaign was developed.
Okay, thank you. And what is it actually hoping to achieve, do you think?
For the Blue Umbrella campaign, this is still around raising awareness on how we can still provide better care and protection for our boys. And then we have to recognize that boys are also vulnerable to all forms of sexual violence, abuse, and exploitation as girls. And we have also really must change the way we treat our children in general boys and girls, because for boys, we give them more freedom compared to girls, but this freedom has a price, because in our, we discovered in our interviews with boys that most of the sexual abuse of boys occurred outside their homes because of this so-called freedom, that we allow our boys to go out freely without so much reservation, because we have this notion that boys will be boys. And in the Philippines, boys will not, pregnancy is not an issue for boys. It is for girls. That's why we are so protective of our girls.
So there's another element to this, as you say, this is a whole gender perspective on the understanding of masculinity, but linked with that is also this understanding of vulnerability and how people see that differently for boys and girls, which is one of the things that you want to explore more. And I wondered why you were thinking now is particularly important, because obviously advocacy has to be really timely to achieve change. So is there anything now that you feel that you can resonate with, or opportunities that you're hoping to capitalize on through having an advocacy campaign targeted at the moment?
It is an opportune time for us really to organize a massive advocacy campaign, because we have all the data with us around vulnerabilities of boys to be sexually exploited, abused, neglected, because globally there is already a professional recognition that boys can also be vulnerable to all forms of sexual abuse. At the same time, in the Philippines, we have also the National Baseline Study on Violence Against Children, and it is very consistent that the global findings are about vulnerability of boys when it comes to sexual violence.
Okay, so that's bringing the different things together, is that you feel that you've got really timely, good evidence data, you've got global recognition of the issue, and you've got a baseline study. So bringing those three together, you think is now going to mean that you now is the time to speak out, which is really interesting. So what was it, why was it important, do you think, for this particular advocacy campaign that it was led by local CSOs? And how do you think that makes it different? What sort of part of this advocacy that you feel, because it's been done by local CSOs from the very beginning, the research right the way through, that makes this particularly different?
An advocacy being led by a local CSO is really a strength, because the local CSO is an expert in their own field, and they know the reality on the ground. So this advocacy is not just based on on literature review and even studies. It's based also on actual experience of the local NGOs who knows the reality that could support also the findings of the several studies.
That's really important. So it's that combination of evidence base, the evidence base that is rigorous and academic, and then combining that with the more qualitative understanding and evidence base that practitioners themselves can bring to the context. So and that combined makes it all the more powerful to be able to advocate. And can you just tell me a little bit more about how you managed to collaborate? Because obviously you're bringing together sort of organizations from different parts of the world to be able to do both research and then building that evidence base and then to do the campaign. What are your reflections on how, what are the beneficial aspects of collaboration to be able to bring together an advocacy campaign?
Working on the collaboration for this project was not that difficult. Why? Because I think we are lucky that we are all members, all the participants of this, of the research as well as the Blue Umbrella campaign are all members of family. So therefore, being a member in one international alliance is already a strength, because you are already like a team. So when you are in a team, collaboration and partnership is not that difficult anymore, because you become one in terms of your direction and goal. So I think being with the Family for Every Child Child's Global Alliance is a big help for this campaign.
Brilliant, thank you.
And I see collaboration among members.
That's great. So that so the pre-existing alignment really meant that therefore you could be able to go on and do the advocacy because you already knew we're aligned around our goals, we've got a common understanding of the changes we want to achieve, and therefore going into the specifics of the research on this issue was quite straightforward because you all were of a common mindset effectively.
Yes.
Interesting. And do you think there were any challenges in preparing for a particularly, because this is quite ambitious, you're doing it at a local level, but you also want it to be a global campaign. And how do you think there were any challenges around for local civil society organisations coming from different contexts? To what extent they can, you can, what was it you're facing in terms of challenges to achieve not just your local based campaign, but also getting this together as a collaboration to do something more globally?
Yeah, one of the major, because in any collaboration in global global project, you know, you cannot really avoid some challenges. And one of the challenges of this particular campaign is that we conceptualized this, we planned this in the midst of COVID-19 pandemic. And I think that was one of the major challenges that we face, because all our plans, we finalized the planning for the design of the campaign in January 2020. And right after that, COVID-19 came in. So all our schedules and plans were put on hold. But thanks to that technology, because after we were able to somehow manage the impact of COVID-19, we were able to resume the planning via online. And this is also the very strength of FAMILY, because even before COVID-19, FAMILY for Every Child is already working via online platform. And I think working online was not new to us anymore. So that's why we're still able to pursue the plans of this campaign. Now we are about to launch it in April 16 this year.
Brilliant. And maybe just a little bit, because you've brought together some really interesting different contexts. Do you want to just say a little bit about who it is that's taking this forward in terms of where you are geographically and who's leading on this?
Okay, for this particular, actually, the Blue Umbrella Campaign is under the leadership of the Sexual Violence Technical Working Group of the Family for Every Child. And this technical working group has three subgroups. One is the primary research on caring for boys affected by sexual violence, and most of the members of this subgroup is from Asia. And then the second group is understanding the problematic, harmful sexual behavior of children. And the last group is the social norm, who is in charge of the conceptualizing the Blue Umbrella Campaign, which is members from Guyana, Paraguay, Philippines, and India. And I think the development of this subgroup was naturally evolved. And I think this is based on the members' readiness on certain issue as well as priorities, especially when COVID-19 came in. So at the moment, it's Guyana, Paraguay, Philippines, and India who are leading this campaign. However, we are also considering this as a pilot campaign, because we really want other members of the family to participate in this campaign. As at the same time, we want also to expand this campaign outside the alliance.
Brilliant, Zeni. Thank you so much. It's obviously been quite a journey that you started on since 2016 here to 2021, and now you're just on the cusp in April 16th to sort of say now we can go live with this blue campaign. And fantastic to see that that's happening in Latin America, the Caribbean, and then two parts of Asia. But as you say, it'd be even more amazing if we can get it to the point where we have Africa and Europe and other parts of the world also engaged in taking forward this really important issue, which I think the research has demonstrated also that this is a global issue. This isn't specific to the Philippines or the Asia region that started this research. What has come up is that the commonalities around this issue and the fact that there is no visibility to the specifics that happen and the orientation that's needed to take a gender lens and to look at this through social norms. How interesting that that has been resonated in different parts of the globe. So Zenny, thank you so much for your rich and insightful conversation and for sharing so openly about CPTCSA's experiences of collaborative advocacy project between local CSOs. It's been fantastic to have the conversation. Thank you, Zenny, very much indeed.
Thank you so much also, Amanda.
It's my pleasure. And I think the classic thing that you've identified is that route to advocacy, the necessary part. So it's starting with primary research, then actually sort of undertaking a sort of global campaign on the basis of that. But then really thinking about once we've raised awareness, how you can actually bring together the specifics of the evidence-based research to the local context, to the yes. bringing in the practitioner expertise, which means that then you're able to do a local community fundraising, as well as being able to then bringing the pieces back together again to create something that's going to happen at an international level. I think it is a really beautiful sort of picture of how something can evolve and develop to be so timely. But the crucial thing, as you say, is being timely and the readiness of organisations to do it. And despite the huge challenges of COVID, how an online platform can really help to keep going in terms of being able to take forward advocacy work. So brilliant insights. Thank you so much. And the Brew Umbrella Day, to confirm to everybody who would like to support it, is happening on the 16th of April. And you can find out more and get involved in the campaign by visiting, all one word, blueumbrelladay.org. Thank you for those of you joining us to listening to this Conversation on Care podcast. This is the last episode in our Power of Civil Society mini-series. If you missed the first two episodes on the topics of practice exchange and research, you can find them on the How We Care website at thehowwecare.community. You can also sign up to receive alerts of new podcasts and other activities. And we look forward to welcoming you onto the Changemakers for Children community platform, and you can visit that, and all one word again, changemakersforchildren.community to register. The more users there are, the stronger we will be. We hope you will join us soon for another Conversation on Care. Thank you and goodbye.